Neuroplasticity and the prefrontal cortex. One of the most powerful traits of the central nervous system is that of neuroplasticity. The definition of plastic involves a malleable or moldable nature to a compound, and this is exactly what happens with the nervous system. Neuroplasticity involves the brain adapting and growing to maintain a sense of homeostasis or balance in response to environmental pressures. Some of the examples of these pressures can include substance use, medications, blood pressure changes, stress levels, or hormonal changes. For our purposes, we will discuss some of the neurologic changes taking place in the brain secondary to continuous substance use. There is good clinical data, including neuroimaging data, that shows neuroplasticity occurring in the structure and function of the brain. This includes changes in the way the brain handles the most important neurotransmitter involved in addiction, dopamine. Dopamine is a neurotransmitter that is synthesized from amino acids, specifically from phenylalanine. This amino acid is initially introduced through dietary sources and then is metabolized by numerous channels to form dopamine. Dopamine is also broken down by other enzymes in a cyclical fashion, with final products being homovanillic acid. Dopamine serves multiple purposes in the brain, including involvement in motor control, mood, and reward processing. This reward component of dopamine is the primary reason we care about this chemical in the field of addiction. Feedback loops and the prefrontal cortex. One of the largest neuroimaging breakthroughs was found by Nora Volkow as she determined that chronic cocaine ingestion would lead to increased dopamine activity in the nucleus accumbens and ventral tegmental area, which are deep brain areas of the thalamus. She also found that the dorsolateral prefrontal cortex, the front part of the brain, showed dopamine desensitization. This essentially meant that the addictive circuit in the brain became hyperactive, and the executive function zone, or brake package, if you will, became less responsive. Her full analysis of this and summary of some of her clinical work is cited in her article Neurobiologic Advances from the Brain Disease Model of Addiction, published in the New England Journal of Medicine in 2016. If a person has an overactive driving force and decreased ability to regulate and say no, habitual drug use essentially progresses to compulsive drug use. This evidence furthers our understanding of addiction as a disease process, with neurobiological change occurring through plasticity. Implications connected to ADHD. Attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, or ADHD, seems to have a similar presentation in terms of the prefrontal cortex. ADHD patients who have struggled since birth also show markedly diminished dopamine activity in this area and associated difficulties with impulse control, organization, and mood regulation. As you could imagine, young adults and teens with substance abuse issues have as high as a 50% rate of co-occurring ADHD. This can become a magnified problem for certain patients, whereas they have the core biology of ADHD, associated impulse control deficits, drug use in a repetitive fashion leading to habituation, and resultant downregulation of the prefrontal cortex. This person hence has further difficulties with impulse control, more drug use, etc. ADHD is a significant risk factor for addiction, and ongoing addiction makes a patient present like someone with ADHD. Tying things together. By understanding the adaptation of the brain connected to substance use, we can be more understanding of impulse control issues with addiction patients. We also can use this information to address the potential diagnosis of ADHD. Many patients get improperly treated with ADHD medications, whereas the condition was more a product of drug abuse. It is possible to help a patient heal from both conditions if we emphasize safety, the need for clean and stable recovery time, and accurate diagnostic assessment.